One of the most common questions that I consistently get is, what is a TFSA? What is an FHSA? What is an RRSP? Should I save for vacation in my TFSA? What about my emergency fund? Should I buy GICs in my RRSP? What do I do with an FHSA? Which one should I prioritize? How do I know which one I should focus on? What is my contribution room for each? If you're thinking to yourself right now, yep, this is me, and I literally don't understand any of this, well, then you're going to enjoy today's episode on the Balanced Pursuit podcast. I'm going to go through what each individual account is, their pros and cons, common misconceptions, and I'm going to try to help you understand which one makes sense for you to focus on. Back in my early 20s, I remember someone mentioning to me that I should open up a TFSA. I knew nothing about it, but I thought, sure. So I opened one up with my big bank, put like $100 into it, and then just forgot about it because I just didn't understand why I would save in a TFSA if I already had a savings account. A few years later, around 25, about 6 months into my mission of getting my financial shit together, I began learning about these different accounts and how powerful they actually can be. Upon my research, I decided I actually didn't want to keep my money with my big bank and decided to open up a Wealthsimple account instead, which is what I still use to this day for my savings and investments. I opened a TFSA, chose the managed investment option with a conservative or balanced portfolio because I was slightly intimidated. And that was the first time, my friends, that I had started to invest. We all start somewhere. I once knew absolutely nothing. I didn't grow up financially literate, and everything I now know today is because of my own efforts and with the help of my fiance. I was curious and I started learning as much as I humanly possibly could because all this information is available at our fingertips. I wanted to feel in charge. I was sick of not knowing. The question is, do you have enough curiosity and will to seek it out yourself? The other day, I posted a mini series explaining the core differences between these accounts, and today I'm going to expand on this and to hopefully give you an even better understanding on all of these accounts. As I shared online, 2025 is the year you will stop being confused about these accounts, and I hope I can help clear some things up for you. Okay, so the first portion of this episode that I want to cover is exactly what are these three accounts. It's important to get a solid understanding of what they are before we dig into the rest. Let's first tackle the TFSA. The TFSA stands for a tax-free savings account, which I already hate the name of. Do you know why? Because this sounds like it's a damn savings account. It's not. This should really be called a tax-free investment account. Just based on the name alone, I'm not surprised that people use this account to save money versus invest it. This registered account is so powerful because all of your investments growth grows tax-free. This means you don't have to pay taxes on investment earnings, so you now have the opportunity to grow a ton of money over the next years or even decades without worrying about tax implications. As for your contribution room, this has started to build since you turned 18 years old, which must have been 2009 or later, and have been a Canadian resident since. Your contribution room accumulates every single year, which means if you've never contributed an amount to your TFSA, your room will be quite high. In 2009, the yearly limit started at $5,000, and now, most recently, in 2024, in 2025, it's gone up to $7,000, which is a great news for us. To find out what your limit is, you'll just need to log into your CRA account and you'll find it in there. Withdrawing from this account is also really easy with no penalties or tax implications, and you do also get your contribution room back the next year. So if 1 year you take out $10,000 from your TFSA, that room won't disappear. You'll get it back the following year. Many use this account for a vacation fund or an emergency fund, which I hope now you understood that this isn't what this account is meant for. Keep that stuff in a high interest savings account. A TFSA is great for long-term wealth building to boost your retirement funds, buy a home, besides the FHSA that we'll talk about shortly, and other large purchases that are generally 5+ years away so you can safely invest your money and let it grow in the meantime. Now let's chat about the RRSP. This is the Registered Retirement Savings Plan. This is also another investment account, not a savings account. One of the most attractive features of the RRSP is that all your contributions are tax deductible. This means that you get an immediate relief during tax season because it lowers your taxable income. As an example, let's say you make $80,000 and you manage to contribute $10,000 to your RRSPs. Then you only get taxed on the $70,000 this year. So because you get a tax break now, it does mean you do eventually have to pay tax when you withdraw from this account. Also, another important thing to know is that all your investments grow tax deferred, meaning you do pay taxes later on when you withdraw. A lot of people seem to wonder, then what is even the point if you have to pay taxes later on? Well, there are three main reasons for this, for why I personally think this account is pretty important. One, it gives you a tax break during your working years, so you have the opportunity to save and invest more money now. Two, it encourages you to actually save for retirement. Looking at the variety of statistics out there, it only looks like about half of Canadians save for retirement in a registered account, which is pretty scary. Third, you'll most likely be in a smaller tax bracket in retirement, so even though you do pay income tax, it'll be less than what you're paying today. When you're a high income earner, you do appreciate this tax break even more. As for your contribution room, this builds based on your earnings. So it takes 18% of your previous year's income up to a maximum amount of $31,560 for 2024. This amount has changed over the years. Another important thing to know is that your contributions in this account does also accumulate each year. So if you've never contributed to your RRSP, you will have quite a bit of room in this account. And again, you can find your current limit by logging into the CRA. Withdrawing from this account isn't necessarily as straightforward as the TFSA. The main thing that I want to mention that is if you do withdraw from your RRSP, you do permanently lose the contribution room. You don't get it back unless you withdraw it using the home buyer's plan or the lifelong learning plan. Withdrawing will also cost you because whatever amount you withdraw will become a part of your annual tax bill. So if you're still making a decent amount of money, this will not benefit you come tax season. The last thing I want to mention regarding withdrawing is that there will be withholding tax, which is really important for you to understand. The financial institution that you withdraw money from will withhold a certain amount for taxes, so you won't get access to all of your funds. This is essentially a prepayment of the tax that you'll owe later on. So as you can tell, there's quite a few things to consider when withdrawing early from your RRSP, which in my opinion is honestly a good thing because it does encourage you to just leave it in there. The final thing that I'll touch on now for the RRSP is that you can withdraw up to $60,000 using the home buyer's plan, which is meant for first-time home buyers and will not be taxed at the time of withdrawal. You have to pay this back within 15 years and you will have a set amount you need to pay back each year. And if you don't, the difference will be considered RRSP income and will be taxed at your marginal rate. I will share a personal thought on the home buyer's plan, and that is that I'm not really a fan at all. This impacts your investments gain potential so much in the long run. Just as an example, if you keep that $60,000 and it's being invested at an average 10% return rate each year, in 40 years, you'll have over $2.7 million. Please do your own research and make your own educated decision. But for me, I'm not touching my retirement savings to buy a home. Okay, last but certainly not least, the FHSA. This is the first home savings account. And if you've never heard of this, it's okay. It's very new to Canada and it was only introduced in April 2023. This is an account that I'm a huge fan of. Please note that this is only meant for first-time home buyers, so do make sure you are eligible to open this account. What I love about this account is that it combines the power of the TFSA and the RRSP. It's basically a two-in-one. All your investments grow tax-free, just like your TFSA, and all contributions made are also tax-deductible, just like your RRSP. Your withdrawals are also tax-free as long as it's used to buy a first home. When it comes to your contribution room, this part is very important. It only begins once you actually open the account and you get $8,000 per year with a max limit of $40,000. The rollover amount also works a bit differently on this one. You can only carry forward up to $8,000 of unused contribution room to the next year. To open an FHSA, you'll need to be over 18 or 71 years or younger, are a resident of Canada, and have not lived in a qualifying home as your principal place of residence that you owned or jointly owned in this calendar year or in the previous four calendar years. Please make sure you head over to canada.ca to read about all of the details to ensure you're eligible. Last thing I want to mention that, yes, if you purchase a qualifying first home, you will not be taxed. However, what if you don't end up purchasing a home? After 15 years, you do have to close the account, but don't stress. The amount of money you've saved, you'll be able to roll over as a top up to your RRSPs. This will not affect your contribution rem, which is amazing. Now that you hopefully have a better understanding of these three accounts, let's quickly go through a quick list of pros and cons of each. Let's start with the TFSA. Pros, your investments grow tax-free, your withdrawals are tax-free, no restrictions on what you can use this money for, and it's great for savings that are 5+ years away. And finally, you have a ton of flexibility with the TFSA. Cons, there are no tax deductions when you contribute, and if you over-contribute, it can lead to penalties. All in all, this is definitely best for people who want flexibility and tax-free growth. Next up is the RRSP. Pros, this reduces your taxable income, is ideal for high income earners, ensures you're setting money aside for retirement, and if some see this as a pro, it can be used to buy a home or for education using the lifelong learning plan. Cons, withdrawals are taxed as income, and there's way less flexibility with this account. The RRSP is generally best for high income earners who want to save on taxes now and invest for retirement. And then for the FHSA, pros, you do get tax deductions with your contributions, your investments grow tax-free, and you can make tax-free withdrawals. This account helps first-time buyers save efficiently, and if you don't happen to buy a home, you can roll it over to your RRSP without affecting your contribution rem. And for cons, this can only be used for home purchase or potentially retirement if unused. Your contribution rem only rolls over up to $8,000, and you're only allowed to contribute $40,000. The FHSA is definitely best for people who are planning to buy a home and or as a top up for your retirement savings. All right, I know that that was probably a lot of information, and if you're still here listening, amazing. I know that this episode is definitely jam-packed with important info, but it might feel a touch overwhelming. Finally, let's figure out what account you should prioritize by going through a few scenarios. Scenario number one, you're a young professional with no specific savings goals yet. If you're just starting out and you don't want to be held down with restrictions, the TFSA might be a good option for you. It's flexible and you don't need to know exactly what you'll use the money for yet. However, if your employer does RRSP matching and you can afford it, this is something that you should highly consider. Scenario two, you're a high income earner. If you're making a good amount of money and you have disposable income, you might want to prioritize your RRSP to maximize your tax savings. Scenario three, wanting to buy a home. I personally would max out the FHSA first. That's a total no-brainer. And then put any extra money into my TFSA for additional flexibility. Scenario four, want to save and invest but unsure of future plans. TFSA might be the best option as this gives you plenty of flexibility. I would also consider the FHSA because this can go towards a home purchase and or retirement. By me sharing these scenarios, I'm not saying that this is how you should do it, but I hope that they give you some idea of what it can potentially look like depending on what your priorities are and where you're at in life. Make sure that you take advantage of these registered accounts, even if you can only contribute a small amount, because this stuff really does add up over time. I hope that this episode gave you a ton of insight and helped clear some things up for you. And remember, whether you're saving for retirement, investing for the future, or planning to buy a first home, understanding how to use these three main accounts can make a huge difference in reaching your financial goals. So start where you can, stay consistent, and let your money work for you.